From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Equity slide as President Donald Trump revives trade war fears. Indonesia's COVID-19 situation likely to improve in June or July. Now the news in detail. Stock markets fell on Monday after U.S. President Donald Trump sparked fears of a renewed trade war with China over its role in the coronavirus pandemic. As quoted by AFP.com on May 4, key Eurozone markets were more than 3.5% lower at the close on simmering US-China tensions, with Frankfurt and Paris playing catch-up with London after a long holiday weekend. Swiss code bank analyst IPEC Oskardiskaya stated risk sentiment is very fragile, as the bank enter another critical week in terms of economic and corporate data. Donald Trump's attacks on China are really not helping. The region's losses came as millions of Europeans emerged from lockdown on Monday, with Italy, the continent's hardest-hit country, leading the way out of its two-month coronavirus confinement. Millions of Europeans emerged with relief from coronavirus confinement on Monday, with hard-hit Italy leading the way out of the world's longest lockdown. As quoted by AFP.com, on May 4, at least 3.5 million people are now known to have been infected, but U.S. President Donald Trump offered hope for an end to the pandemic, saying he believed there would be a vaccine by year's end. Around 248,000 people have died since the coronavirus emerged in China late last year and swept across the globe, given wings by the network of air routes that in normal times keep the modern world ticking. Lockdowns imposed on half of the planet have derailed economies, and politicians are now grappling with how to get the wheels turning again without sparking a second wave of infections. Italy was gingerly emerging into the spring sunshine on Monday, with construction sites and factories resuming work. In Nigeria, some businesses have reopened on the first working day after the easing of a lockdown imposed on key urban areas in a bid to restart Africa's largest economy. As quoted by BBC.com, but the main doctors' association described the move as very premature. In the commercial hub, Lagos, traffic jams were absent, indicating that many were remaining indoors. Last week, President Muhammadu Buhari said the measures had imposed a very heavy economic cost. The lockdown began 5 weeks ago to contain the spread of coronavirus. As many in the big cities live a hand-to-mouth existence, the restrictions led to fears that it could leave people hungry as it cut off their means to earn money. Nigeria is one of several African countries beginning to loosen restrictions. Egypt, Rwanda, South Africa, and Tunisia have also relaxed their coronavirus lockdowns. India's government has denied it wanted migrants seeking to return to their home states during the coronavirus lockdown to pay their own train fares. As quoted by BBC.com, on May 4, a top ministry official said it was not the intention following the outcry. Millions of daily wage earners were stranded with no means of income after India went into lockdown on March 24 to curb the spread of coronavirus. Some tickets can cost about 800 rupees or $11. A daily wage earner typically makes between 200 and 600 rupees a day. Government officials initially defended the move, saying it was necessary to ensure that only those who were really stranded would use the train services. Railway Board Chairman V.K. Yadav told a local newspaper that making the service free would make it difficult to screen people and that the service was only intended for migrant workers and stranded students. Still crazy Italians were free to stroll and visit relatives for the first time in 9 weeks on Monday as Europe's hardest-hit country eased back the world's longest remaining coronavirus lockdown. As quoted by AFP.com on May 4, more than 4 million people, an estimated 72% of them men, returned to their construction sites and factories as the economically and emotionally shattered country tried to get back to work. The sounds of drilling echoed across Rome and a group of men drank espresso out of plastic cups in front of the Pantheon, the former Roman temple, as cafes reopened for takeout service. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia's COVID-19 situation will likely improve in June and July if citizens uphold mutual cooperation and maintain strict discipline in the fight against the coronavirus. Indonesian government spokesperson for the COVID-19 Task Force, Ahmad Yuryanto, during a virtual press conference from the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, the NDB office, on Monday stated that, with God's willing, in June and July, all things will get better than now. He noted the spirit of gotong royong, or mutual cooperation, strict discipline, and persistence are indispensable in the fight against the new coronavirus outbreak because they will enable Indonesia to emerge out of the pandemic. To this end, Yuryanto also said communities across the country should remain united and work together to handle the disease. The last item. The number of foreign tourists visiting Indonesia dropped sharply in March this year on account of several policies that were implemented to contain the COVID-19 outbreak. Head of Central Statistics Agency BPS, Suharyanto, during a virtual press conference in Jakarta on Monday, as quoted by Antara News Agency, stated in March 2020 the number of foreign tourists dropped dramatically. And now the number is only 470,900. If BPS traced historical data, the number of foreign tourists is almost the same as in 2007. Compared with February 2020, there was a 45.5% drop in foreign tourist arrivals in March 2020. There was a 64.11% decline in the number of tourists visiting in the country. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is United Against COVID-19. Well, listener, United Against COVID-19 is what became the theme of Non-Aligned Movement Summit held virtually on Monday night. President of Republic of Indonesia, Joko Widodo, from Bogor Palace, West Java, was present along with representatives from 38 non-aligned movement member countries. On the occasion, he mentioned that 59 years ago, the non-aligned movement was established to fight the common enemy, the imperialism and colonialism. Now the common enemy that must be faced is the COVID-19 pandemic. The same thing was conveyed by Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi, who called on the non-aligned movement member countries to focus on what can be done to help the world fight the health crisis. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, after accompanying the president to the meeting, delivered the agreed results. The non-aligned movement summit this time resulted in a declaration which, among others, emphasized the importance of solidarity and cooperation, including in ensuring the availability of drugs and medical equipment and preventing COVID-19's negative impact on the economy. Another thing noted in the declaration is the importance of exchanging information regarding COVID-19. In addition, the UN General Assembly Resolution number 74-270 regarding global solidarity to fight COVID-19 was welcomed, in which Indonesia was one of the initiators. The concrete form agreed upon at the Non-Aligned Movement Summit is the formation of the Non-Aligned Movement Task Force, which will later be assigned to compile a database of state medical and humanitarian needs to be subsequently submitted to donor countries and organizations. What became declaration of Non-Aligned Movement Summit was in accordance with the ideas conveyed by Indonesia. As stated by President Joko Widodo, the non-aligned movement must struggle to get equitable and timely access to COVID-19 medicines and vaccines at affordable prices. Previously, at the International Coordination Group on COVID-19 Forum, Minister Retno Marsudi also proposed the establishment of a joint platform to share information about the company's production capacity in the field of medical devices amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Indonesia is indeed much focused on handling COVID-19, which has now exposed 215 countries. Indonesia not only deals with more than 11,000 positive infected with the COVID-19, but also contributes to the handling of more than 3.5 million positive cases in the world. The spirit of togetherness and mutual cooperation owned by Indonesia also becomes the capital to be with the non-aligned movement in particular and the world in general to jointly fight against COVID-19. Because no one country be sure when this pandemic will come to an end. Although this pandemic is still far from over, with the spirit of togetherness against COVID-19, every country can cooperate to suppress its spread figure. Concrete steps must be carried out immediately, as a call voiced by President Joko Widodo to non-aligned movement member countries to move quickly, carefully, and strategically in the bid to jointly fight against COVID-19, not only to overcome the current COVID-19 pandemic, but also to be better prepared to deal with a pandemic that may arise in the future. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any services that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Voice of Indonesia.
American history, I'll begin with May the 5th, 1949, European Day is formed. European Day is an annual celebration of peace and unity in Europe. There are two separate European days. The 5th of May was set by the European Council and the 9th of May by the European Union. The European Council was formed on May the 5th, 1949 and chose May the 5th as its collaboration day when it was designated a holiday in 1964. While the European Union in 1985 decided to celebrate European Day on the anniversary of the Schuman Declaration on May the 9th, issued on May the 9th, 1950, it planned to merge the French and West German coal and iron industries. I'll switch to May the 5th, 2004. A figure of Indonesian Islamic reformer, Abdul Mukti Ali, dies. Abdul Mukti Ali pioneered liberalism of Islamic thought in the era of modern Indonesia. Abdul Mukti Ali is famous for being very moderate and willing to respect pluralism both in Islamic societies and outside Islam. He also cares deeply about the world of education. The message of Islamic reform that he conveyed have a distinctive style and manner. It contrasts to most other Islamic thinkers and reformers. Mukti Ali introduced liberal Islamic ideas clearly and completely so that they did not cause resistance from those who disagreed with him. He carried out reforms and liberal Islamic ideas that were not provocative and accompanied by solutions. I'll end with May the 5th, 2007. Kenya Airways Flight 507 crashes. Kenya Airways Flight 507 was a flight of Kenya Airways Boeing 737-800 that departed from Douala International Airport in Douala, Cameroon to Jomo Kenyatta International Airport in Nairobi, Kenya. This flight started from Port Bue Airport in Abidjan, Ivory Coast, but stopped at Douala to pick up a number of passengers. The aircraft allegedly crashed near the town of Lolodorf, about 160 kilometers southeast of the coastal city of Douala, southern Cameroon, on May 5, 2007, with 105 passengers and 9 crew members. All died. No one survived this disaster. Kenya Airways said that the passengers were from 26 countries. Well, that was today in history from Indonesia to the world.
Dunia yang syarat godaan.
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. Well, the topic today is with the second wave repatriation, the Indonesian Embassy in Colombo facilitates the return of 347 Indonesian citizens to Indonesia. Indonesia, through his representatives abroad, focuses on the protection of Indonesian citizens abroad related to the outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic. Such protection was carried out by the Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Colombo, which again facilitated the repatriation of 347 Indonesian citizens from Sri Lanka and the Maldives using Garuda Indonesia charter aircraft with flight number GA9830. As quoted on the website kemlu.go.id, the route used by GA9830 is the same as the route during the previous repatriation from Sri Lanka to the Mali airport. But the plane carried 26 Indonesians from Sri Lanka and picked up 321 Indonesians in the Maldives. Initially, the plane was planned to only land in Jakarta, but given the number of Indonesian migrant workers from Bali, the Indonesian embassy in Colombo decided to extend the route to Denpasar. Of the 347 Indonesians, 243 people landed in Jakarta at around 6:40 West Indonesian time, while 104 people continue on their way to Denpasar and arrived around 11:10 Central Indonesian time. The repatriated Indonesian citizens mostly work in the tourism sector, including 24 luxury resorts, 43 at 5-star resorts, 7 at 4-star resorts, 1 restaurant, 2 retails, 1 manufacturing industry, 8 spas, 2 companies in technology, and 1 in sports. The Indonesian citizens were affected by the social restriction policy due to the COVID-19 outbreak that forced their places of work in Maldives to stop operating. A total of 682 Indonesians from Sri Lanka and the Maldives were facilitated for their return by the Indonesian Embassy in Colombo in April and May 2020 through the first and second wave of independent repatriation schemes. After this second wave of repatriation, the Indonesian Embassy in Colombo estimates that there is still possibility of return because the tourism industry, which is the main sector of the Maldives, still needs a recovery process due to the COVID. The Indonesian Embassy in Colombo will continue to monitor and assist Indonesian citizens in Sri Lanka and the Maldives as the focus of Indonesian representatives abroad today. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Jangan hati, kau lupakan semua rasa, dan tak satu pun kau mengerti tentang kita. Oh, kau hitamkan janji yang putih, kau hitamkan semua rasa, dan kau pun lupa segalanya tentang cinta.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know Sarikayo culinary from Sumatra. Stay tuned. Many foods for iftar are available found in Indonesia. One of them is Sarikayo. This culinary is popular in Sumatra regions, especially in Padang, West Sumatra, and Palembang, South Sumatra. People in general call the food with srikaya. Srikaya has sweet taste with smooth texture and green color. Srikaya is traditional food which uses natural dye from suji or pandanus leaf to produce green color. Main ingredients of Srikaya are coconut milk, egg, sugar, and pandanus leaf. To make the food is very simple. It is only by cooking coconut milk and water of pandanus leaf, then entering egg whisk and melted sugar into the coconut milk, and stir the dough until it is mixed well. The dough of saricayo is ready to be poured into container and steamed until cooked. Saricayo is usually eaten along with sticky rice, but over the time, many people eat it along with layer of bread. In the past, saricayo was put in a small bowl and served along with sticky rice separately. But now, to make it easier, saricayo and sticky rice is molded together so that it becomes ricaya layer. In Sumatra, it is not difficult to find saricayo, especially during holy month of Ramadan. There are many vendors who sell saricayo as snack for iftar. The price is relatively cheap, only 10,000 rupiah until 15,000 rupiah. Saricayo has its own philosophy, meaning for people in Sumatra. Green color on saricayo symbolizes natural prosperity. In accordance with its name, Saricaya means god of rice. It is hoped can bring prosperity for people. For Palembang people, saricayo usually becomes a complementary dish in every traditional procession. The food presents on kambang, row of dishes that are arranged beautifully in the Palembang traditional procession. The delicacy of saricayo can also become a prestige of the family who hold a celebration. Saricayo is usually served with sticky rice. According to the local people, sticky rice symbolizes eternity in someone's relationship. Sticky rice often analogizes to a relationship that continues to run well. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring saricayo culinary from Sumatra. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Aku kan meninggalkan, tinggalkan kamu untuk sementara. Kau dekat aku, kau bilang jangan.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Next is a conversation about di sana ada pertunjukan, or in English, there is a show. Tony, Joko, and Dinda are at a cultural center in Yogyakarta.
Wah, di sana ada pertunjukan tari topeng. Mau menonton?
Mau, tapi kita tunggu Dinda dan Joko dahulu di sini ya.
Oke.
After the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word twice, slowly, and you can follow after me. Pertunjukan. Pertunjukan, in English, show. Tari topeng. Tari topeng, in English, topeng or mask dance. Di sana. Di sana, in English, there. Di situ. Di situ, in English, there. Di sini. Di sini, in English, here. Di sana ada pertunjukan tari topeng. Di sana ada pertunjukan tari topeng. In English, there is a mask dance show there. Mau menonton? Mau menonton, in English, why don't we watch it? Mau, tetapi kita tunggu Dinda dan Joko dahulu di sini. Mau, tetapi kita tunggu Dinda dan Joko dahulu di sini. In English, okay, but I think we have to wait Dinda and Joko first. Listener in the dialogue, Endah said, di sana ada pertunjukan tari topeng. In English, there is a topeng or mask dance there. To tell someone's location or something located far away from you, you can use the word di sana, in English, there. Let's follow some examples. Di sana ada pertunjukan tari topeng. There is a mask dance performance there. Dinda dan Joko berada di sana. Dinda and Joko are there. To tell about someone's location or something near or close to you, you can use the word di sini or in English, here. Let's follow some examples. Kita tunggu Dinda dan Joko di sini. In English, we wait for Dinda and Joko here. Kemarin, ada pertunjukan tari topeng di sini. In English, yesterday, there was topeng or mask dance performance here. In addition to the words di sana and di sini, in the Indonesian language, there is another word whose position is between the two words, namely di situ, which means there. When you want to tell someone's location or something that is not too close and not too far from you, you can use the word di situ. So, if sorted from the farthest distance, they become di sana, di situ means there, and di sini or here. For examples,
Saya menyimpan tiket di sana. In English, I put a ticket there. Saya menyimpan tiket di situ. In English, I put a ticket there. Saya menyimpan tiket di sini. In English, I put a ticket here. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's follow again the conversation.
Wah, di sana ada pertunjukan tari topeng. Mau menonton?
Mau, tapi kita tunggu Dinda dan Joko dahulu di sini ya.
Oke.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Terkadang sulit diterka, akan kemana membawa kita. Bila saja segala rencana berjalan apa adanya.
Walau tak mudah untuk bertahan, ku menolak kalah oleh keadaan. Meski tiada yang jamin ku di sini, esok masih melihat mentari. Oh, harapan takkan mati, ku tak sendiri. Terikat di hati. Oh, tak akan ku berhenti mengarungi deras hidup ini. Oh, oh, berjalan dalam gelap, sinarkan menyala. Harapan kan ada. Berhentilah.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we present a melody song entitled Temajuk, sung by Mezi. The song Temajuk was composed and sung by Majinur Darli Santo, or usually called Mezi. The song tells about a village, namely Temajuk, in West Kalimantan. In its lyrics, the song tells a story of Temajuk village that has beautiful scenery, especially beach. The beach has blue water with granite stone. Because of its beauty, Temajuk is often called as a heaven in Kalimantan. Through its lyrics, those who listen to the song will be invited to preserve and develop its natural potential. Geographically, Temajuk is located at Paloh District, Sambas Regency, West Kalimantan Province, and directly borders with Malaysia. Temajuk has become favorite destination by local and foreign tourists since the past. The song Temajuk is a Sambas Malay song. The song, which uses Malay language in Sambas dialect, was released in 2017. It is accompanied by some instruments such as guitar, accordion, violin, and kendang. Let's listen to the song Temajuk sung by Mezi. Enjoy the song.
Temajuk name desanya, nang lataknya sebelah utara di Kabupaten Sambas tercinta, di Kecamatan Paloh namanya. Indahnya pemandangan alam gasda kita magikannya. Lestarikan alam kita, lestarikan pantai kita, sampe-sampe kita jagenya sepotong surga di Eko Kalimantan. Pasirnya belampar luas, Temajuk, oh Temajuk, airnya biru di bantang kita bersama-sama membangun kota tercinta, jadikan tempat untuk wisata, biar dikenal di seluruh dunia. Lestarikan alam kita, potong suge di Eko Kalimantan. Semajo, temajo, pasirnya belampar luas. Temajo, oh temajo, airnya biru di bantang luas. Pasirnya belampar luas. Temajo, oh temajo, airnya biru di bantang luas. Airnya biru di bantang luas. Airnya biru di bantang luas.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.